Good morning. Thank you. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this gorgeous day. What a good day to be together. What a good time to have worship and fellowship and to open our hearts to the transformation of God's Spirit. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while. We are so glad you're here, and we hope that you find yourself at home among us. I would like to invite all of you this morning to fill out a connection card, which you can find in your bulletin. You can fill it out in part now and in part later, and when we receive the offering, you can put that in the plate. I would also invite you to take some time this morning to look at the announcements in your bulletin insert. Lots of things going on in congregational life these days. A couple of things that I would like to highlight. The first is that this morning, I hope you are planning to stick around following worship. After worship, we have a time of fellowship, friendship, and coffee, and goodies downstairs. After that, we hope you'll come back up here in the sanctuary at 11:30. We'll be continuing our conversation about our church's stance and practice towards members of the LGBTQ community, and this morning's session is Stories and Perspectives, a time of testimony from members of our church family. It's going to be great, and I really hope that you will plan to be there this morning at 11:30. Also happening this week is our Coffee Break Concert Series. Our own Shanae Chung will be performing on the harpsichord. That's this Thursday at 12:15 right here in this room. This is a free concert with reception afterwards. It's a great chance to take a break in the middle of the workday, become refreshed and renewed, and also invite your friends or co-workers. So hope that you will come out for that if you are available. You can read other announcements at your leisure. Now is the time. The God of grace and the God of goodness is already among us. Now is our chance to show up as well, to be present to the God who is always present to us. Let us worship.
If you are able, please stand. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are the God of love and amazing grace. Please open our eyes that we might see your love at work around and within us. Touch our hearts that we might feel your presence, and open our minds that we might learn and obey your will for our lives today and every day. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song. Our God has done marvelous things.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Ring out your joy.
Let our praises pour forth in sweet music and be lifted in joyous melody. Today's reading is from John's first epistle. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
pray with me? Gracious God, what a world you have given us, blooming with your beauty, drenched with your goodness, saturated with your bold love. In these moments, we lift our hearts in gladness and gratitude for your eternal presence and for the tangible signs of that presence among us. We also lift our prayers, asking for your love and your grace to pour out over all the hurting people and places in our world. We continue to pray, especially for Nicaragua, for peace, justice, and safety for the people there, and for our friends at Amos Health and Hope, that they too would be safe and also be able to continue to minister in powerful ways to the communities there. We pray for the leaders of our world. We pray especially for your church in all places, that we too would be leaders, that we would lead with love, with kindness, with justice, and with sacrificial service. We pray for people in our congregation and in our hearts who need your special care this morning. For Joan Blunt, Jim and Jerry Suits, Jean Evie, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Murphy Stumpf, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lin, Robert L., Dana Rogers, for Denise Kolar, Kim and Jason Weaver, Valerie Nebbia, David, Thea DeGroot, Rachel V., for Connor Flynn, Jim Terrace, for Curtis, Jennifer, Mike, and Joan, for Aaron, for the Jones family, and for John Wallace. And in these quiet moments, we open our hearts and minds to you, trusting that you know all that is in us as we lift our private prayers in silence. Oh God, on this first day of a fresh week, we join all creation in praising you. May our praise lift us into fuller partnership with you for the healing and transformation of the whole world. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you're able, will you please stand now for the reading of the gospel? This reading from the Gospel of John is set on the last night of Jesus before his death. He is speaking to his disciples in the upper room. Listen to his words. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. The word of the Lord. Be seated, and may I invite the children, please, to come forward.
the Cavs win a game, at the end of the game, what are some things you do? Are you quiet? No. The Binghams know that you're not quiet when the Cavs win a game. What do? We jump up and down. We shout and holler. Yeah, you get really excited. I sometimes want to do that after I hear Shanae play. I want to jump up and down and be really loud. I sometimes want to do that too. On Sundays when Paul and Stacy preach too, I can feel it in my body. I just want to jump up and down and shout too. I feel that way too. We are hearing some words today from a psalm about making noise, about good news, about being loud. In fact, it says shout. And it says make noise. So I'm going to pass out some noisemakers, and we're going to quickly make some noise. I'm going to hand you something. Go ahead and try it out when I give it to you. Go ahead and try it out. Make some noise with it.
Here you go.
Make some noise. See what you can do with it. This is going to be the train. Oh, got a whistle. Oh, lips, whistles. Make some noise. Go ahead, make some noise with that. Enter, here you go. Thank you. Up in here. Noise, noise. Good. Good, good. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you to stop. 3, 2, 1. I want you to listen to these words, and then you're going to shake, shake, shake. Listen at the end of this phrase. Sing to the Lord a new song. Our God has done marvelous things. Shake for 5 seconds. Go. Oh, good. Stop. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Ring out your joy. Do it. 5 seconds. Go. Oh, 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 good. Oh, good. I'm so glad Shanae's in charge of playing our music. Oh, good. Listen, let our praises pour forth in sweet music, and be lifted in joyous melody. For God will rule the world with justice and the people with equity. All good things. Joy. I hear joy too. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to use the microphone. I want you to make as much noise as you can while we pray this to you. Dear God. Oh, it's loud. We love you. Okay, okay, okay. That's good. Okay, okay. Thank you for giving us joy. Thank you for letting us be noisy in worship in all the ways we make noise. In your son's name we pray. Amen. One more time.
Thank you.
us pray. Oh, now, gracious God, may we long to hear your word alive, and may it find new home in us to be lived through Christ our Lord. Amen. My earliest memory of the word friend comes from my first years in Sunday school at church. Our teachers knew that little kids like the subject of friends. And so they talked to us about being good friends, and they told us Bible stories about great friendships, and they had us learn Bible verses like, "A friend loveth at all times." And we sang about friends and about how Jesus is our friend. One of our Sunday school songs was, "My best friend is Jesus." And in big church, we got to sing it with the grown-ups, "What a friend we have in Jesus," and another hymn that said, "When I am sad, he makes me glad, he's my friend." All this about friendship and Jesus as our friend was planted deep in the soul of my little self before the time that I could read. So the thought of being a friend was joyous to me, and how thrilling it was for me to know that Jesus was my friend. And I doubt that that is how the disciples felt when Jesus started calling them his friends. I think they were shocked when he said it, and uncomfortable, and maybe even scared. Put yourself in their position. Jesus, they know, is not their equal. They are in awe of him. The power of his goodness overwhelms them. His words move them to the depths. There is power flowing from him that can heal the sick and lift burdens of sadness away. Even the dead hear his voice and live. There is a ferocity in him, and astonishing joy, and impossible depths of understanding, authority, stillness, and in his love, there is something sovereign. The stature of his mind and his spirit are far beyond their reach. They are in awe. And now at a table, with lengthening shadows, he has broken bread and poured a cup of wine and given it to them, and he has moved among them and washed their feet and taken his place and told them he would soon lay down his life. They are horrified and confused, and gazing at them now with those penetrating eyes, he says, "And you are my friends, not my servants anymore. I call you my friends." And it's like out of nowhere he has knighted them. He has elevated them to a position beside him where they're certain they don't belong and aren't so sure they want to, which they all very quickly prove, because after the meal they go out into the night and the soldiers come to seize him who had just called them his friends, and they all ran away. Which makes sense given the fact that when the Romans crucified somebody hailed as Messiah, they would likely also crucify his friends. And he never blamed them for forsaking him. In fact, he knew they'd do it before he said, "You're my friends." And so, suppose he were to show up right now, here, and gaze out at us and say, "You are my friends." Would you be awestruck and moved, and your heart be lifted at least a little? I hope so. Would something in us also draw back, knowing that this is too much for us? We certainly wouldn't jump up to be that kind of Christian, so enamored of that friendship with Jesus thing. They think of him as their pal. You know the kind? Them and their invisible friend who's always talking with them and shares their political views and all their other opinions and makes their life just peachy keen. Some of you may recall a movie called Dogma. George Carlin plays an archbishop or something who holds a press conference to announce that the church has a new marketing strategy. He says the crucifix is depressing, it's scary, and Jesus would not want to give us the willies. The church has a new marketing plan. We will now replace the crucifix with the buddy Christ. And he unveils a new statue of Jesus with a gigantic grin on his face and a big thumbs up. When the living Christ says, "You are my friends," we see no such thing. In fact, when he says it, he actually makes it conditional. He says, "You are my friends if." If? Well, that's not how friendship works, is it? Do you have to meet my expectations for me to call you my friend? Actually, sometimes yes. And that's not about me, friends. It is about the truth that friendship actually is a two-way thing. Say you come to me and welcome me with your generous care and support and solidarity. You are for me, and you can rightly say to me, "I am your friend." But if nothing in me is caring and kind in response, then I can't say that I am your friend. Jesus was an artist in conferring friendships. He famously befriended all manner of people. That included very religious people who invited him to dine with them, and he happily did. It also famously included people who were widely disapproved of. He went to their homes, shared meals with them, gave them his companionship, and the people watching, who were all into the importance supremely of purity, did something you wouldn't think possible. They turned "friend" into a spiteful word. Friend of sinners. And didn't he look back and say, "You've got that right"? And so in him, God's love has come to befriend us, all of us, to be with us and for us, to accept and forgive and encourage and strengthen and lead us into what is good, what is eternally good. All this time, no matter who we were or where we went or how we succeeded or how we failed, how we hoped, what we lost, how we found happiness or horrors, and how we fell into fear and confusion. Through it all, though we did not know it perhaps, the creator of the universe has come to say the impossible. I am your friend. And the one who was the very face of that friendship said to his disciples that night, and says also to us, now you are a friend to me. If you keep my commandment, and this is my commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you. I, your friend, have loved you well. Just give my love to each other, that is all, and you will have become a real friend to me. Frederick Buechner put it more simply, to be his friends, we have to be friends with each other. To be each other's friends means this: being for each other, pouring ourselves out for love's sake, accepting each other, forgiving, encouraging, strengthening, calling out the best in each other. And if, as he said, we're really to love as he loved, then we won't confine our friendship to inside the circle. We go and extend such gift of friendship to people who have known too much of the world's unfriendliness, who've experienced the world's hostility or indifference. We would befriend them with such joy and fervor that with luck, maybe somebody would accuse us of being friends to sinners. And maybe we could say, you've got that right. What a pleasure it finally is. Yet what a challenge it is to pour out ourselves for others what Christ has poured out for us. To love like that is work. It can be costly. It can be scary. So of course we resist it. As Fred Craddock said, we can sing with feeling what a friend we have in Jesus, but who among us would say, what a friend Jesus has in me? And yet, on the night before he laid down his life, these were among the final words he spoke. I will call you my friends. He speaks it still to us. I won't call you servants now. You are my friends. See what honor the Lord Christ has conferred on us. It staggers the mind and swells the heart and sends us joyous to live in our new vocation, a friendship with each other, with the wide world. And our worship is never complete until we have offered ourselves offered of what we have, of who we are, and of who Christ is calling us to be.
This is the table of friendship. This is the feast of love, and God meets us here. Everyone is welcome at this table. In order to make ourselves ready to receive these gifts, we join together in words of prayer. Will you pray with me? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Please stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. We continue in prayer together in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Almost every week, someone will come to our church facility and ask if we can give some kind of assistance. In some cases, we are able. The offering we take now as you leave this room is for the fund. rat. Could you write that as
Hope so.
It's the part I love most about it. It brings years of dedicated ministry, both as acting minister and beyond, to the service of Christ and of the church. Peter, we're so glad that you're with us now. This is William Van Gies, also Dutch.